God.
Your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. You guys probably haven't heard, but I'm a grandfather now. I look the same. Lauren and Matthew are here. They're there in the back. They came from New York, and Cosette is here too somewhere. She's not here in the room, I guess. And we also got another visitor from New York, Michael. Michael Wood. He came to stay with us for a few weeks last year. A couple weeks, right? Right, Michael? How long? 2 weeks. Yeah, down there in Puebla. Had a good time with them. He's a little quiet until he opens up. So, but he's a good guy. Matthew 28. I guess we have another announcement too. We're going to be expecting a second grandbaby, if you can believe it. So, yeah, good thing Matthew canceled the cable. So. Now we have a second grandbaby on the way. Catcher's mitt. All right. Well. All right. Matthew 28. It says, let's start in verse 16. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, that we have to gather in your name. We thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done, everything that you're doing, everything that you're going to do, Lord. We just pray that you continue to use this church, this body, our works, Lord, in Poland and in Mexico, here in San Antonio. We ask that you bless both this church and the one on the east side, Lord. We just ask that you just continue to prosper everything that we do, Lord. We want to honor you with our lives. This is what we've been taught. This is what your will is, Lord. That we cease to live for ourselves. Lord, and I just thank you for that knowledge, Lord, that I do have now that I need to die to myself, Lord, and live for you. That is the meaning. I have true meaning in my life, Lord. And I just thank you for that burden, Lord, that I stopped carrying many years ago, Lord. When I trusted in you, when you saved me, Lord, and I just live for you, Lord. I just want to live for you. And the times that I get bogged down, the times that we get troubled is when we want to do things our way. When we look, at ourselves, when we're busy complaining and murmuring, Lord, instead of looking to you. Lord, I just ask that you just help me this morning, Lord. I just pray that you give me just the right words. Get me out of the message, Lord. And you just get me to say exactly what you want me to say, Lord, to this church, this body of believers, Lord. I just thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross. Just thank you for all your many blessings, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You know, I want to talk about a couple things. Actually, just three things right here. Very interesting in this passage. He says he gives them their last command, I guess. You know, I was trying to think, you know, when I'm thinking about a message and when I'm building a message, I can never come up with good titles for my messages. You know, that's always the hard part. I have no idea. So it's very simple, the mission, right? This is the task we've been given, right? This is the work that we've been giving, right? To do, to accomplish. And it's just an incredible thing that God has given us this work to do here in San Antonio and in Mexico and in Poland. It's just incredible to me how God has blessed our work, for lack of a better word, our energy, you know, our effort. Thank you, Bill. Thank you. Our effort. He has blessed us. And speaking about effort, I mean, sometimes I know most of the time we could do a lot better job than what we're doing. And God still sees fit to work and to do and to in Mexico, we have several churches in Mexico, and like Bill pointed out, many of the churches aren't even started by the Americans. They're doing the work. But you know, along with all these works, there's so many problems and things that just trouble me, and things that just, you know, could really get you down. And in the midst of all that, God's still saving people. In the midst of problems between, you know, workers and preachers, God is still doing a great work. It's just incredible to me that even these bumps that we see, God is not hindered by that. Because, you know, He has a bigger plan. You know, the thing that we see here, teach all nations. And then He says, baptize them. And then He tells again, and teach them. Three things that we have to do. You know, there's one thing when I came here to San Antonio and I got saved, and God put me in this church under good pastors, under good teaching, under hard preaching, you know, and I was so thankful for that. You know, one thing that Brother Lindell taught well. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of things you taught well, but one thing that I know and it stayed with me is we have this debt. We have a debt. Exactly what Bill preached. I think, yeah, I don't think that came from him. It's something that he was taught. It's something I believe that was taught here. It's something that we can't forget. We have this obligation to teach all nations. And you know, what this means is, basically, just making disciples. Just go and preach the gospel and getting them saved, and for them to do the exact same thing. You know, it seems a little overwhelming, and I realize that. Teach all nations? Is that our responsibility? Everybody? You know what? When God says here, teach all nations, I think He's given us a little piece. I think He's given us a piece here in San Antonio, in Mexico, in Poland, in other places. He's given us our work to do, and we can fulfill that. There's so many things that was taught here, and I never want to forget that. It's something that we teach down in Puebla. We have in the back of the church, we have a little board with our missionaries there. And we definitely teach them, look, these guys are preaching the gospel in another area, and you know what? You're probably not going to benefit at all from these guys. But you are a debtor. Someone came here and gave you the gospel, and you are a debtor to other people that you're probably never going to meet. And you know, in our church is small, but they give to the gospel. They give to these missionaries. They give of their money for the gospel to be preached somewhere else. You know, this is a doctrine that lots of times I think it's overlooked. This is a topic that many times I think is just something that's secondary. And I think we need to revisit this and look at this, because it's something that we can do. You know, it says here, if we consider it, I know it's a little bit overwhelming, but how can we accomplish this? Look what it says here in verse 18. It says here, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. The reason why we can go and preach the gospel is because He has all the power. It's just amazing to me how you and I can give the gospel to somebody and they actually believe it. But you know what? It's not all about information. I mean, information is important. We have to give them the gospel. We can't sugarcoat the gospel. There has to be repentance. There has to be things we have to be pointed out in order for the people to get saved. We don't just go down there and tell somebody to raise their hand, right? We don't tell them sign on the dotted line. We don't tell them just repeat this prayer and now you're saved. I know people like that. I've preached with people like that. There's a guy down there in Irapuato. I mean, bless his heart. He's still preaching down there. An older guy. The last time I was in Irapuato, I went downtown, and he's still there, and he's still preaching. But when he used to preach and we used to be there, he'd do the same thing. How many love Jesus? How many want to go to heaven? Raise your hand. And he would say, brother, you know, these guys, you know, all these people have already believed. All these people are going to heaven. I'm thinking, you know, I don't know about that. I don't know about that technique. I mean, hopefully it works out. I mean, but you know what? The Bible says we've got to go and teach them. And teach is going to take a little bit of time. And not only is it going to take a little bit of time and information, but they have to be able to see it. That is so important for them to see your faith, for them to see. Because look, I can show up and say, hey, God saved me. God changed my life. And then they look at me and they say, well, you know what? You're in about the same boat as I am. I don't see any changes in you. You know, there's nothing there. You are kind of uncomfortable to be around. You know, I mean, there's got to be a change. There's got to be something. If God truly saved us, if God truly gave His Spirit to us, then we should be changed. We should be different. It's not all about the information, but it has our life has to back up what we believe. You know, and I think about it, what we do in this church is a reflection of what we believe. That's why for so many years, this church has been sending out missionaries, has been sending out support, have been preaching on the streets. Do you guys know that you guys have a group of preachers that go out on Sundays and on Wednesdays? There's people preaching right here out of this church. Couple guys, two, three guys. I don't know how many people go, and maybe they go other days. I have no idea. I know on Sundays, and I know on Wednesdays. Are you praying for them? Are you going out with them? Are you involved in their ministry? Oh man, if you've never gone on the street, if you've never gone to participate in street preaching and trying to win people and trying to rescue the lost, man, you'll have a whole another concept of what this work is. And we need prayer. It's hard. You know, when I think about the teaching part, I think something that needs to be included is the come and see approach. Very, very important. Look what it says over there in John. In John chapter 1. You guys good? You guys hungry? All right, I'm almost done. Look what it says over here in John chapter 1. It says in verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world. You know, I love that word behold. He goes there and he has his disciples. John's there. Andrew's there. They're with John. And all of a sudden he sees Jesus from afar and he says, behold. You know, that's a pretty cool word. I don't know when the last time you might have used that. I mean, maybe just when we're reading the Bible, but you know, I think I want to do that the next time I'm on the street preaching. Just scream, behold, you know? I mean, I bet you I might get a little bit of a reaction. I might get people go, what? This guy doesn't look English. Why is he speaking that way? I mean, that word means, he wanted to call attention to something. He wanted to say, I want you to observe something remarkable. What I'm going to say after this word is going to be tremendous, and I need you to grasp it. Look what it says when he goes back down in verse 36. These guys heard this. They said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And they didn't forget it. Because in verse 36 it says, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And then in verse 37, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. So when he mentions it again, he didn't even have to say he take away the sins of the world. No, the minute he says, behold, this is the guy I was telling you about. This is the guy I was screaming about. This is the guy that I want you guys to follow. And they followed him. Look what it says here in verse 38. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, isn't that incredible? The God of this universe takes notice in what you do? That's just incredible. Jesus said he turned around and he noticed. They're following me, right? Has God noticed you? What are you doing? What are you not doing? Look what it says here. It says, what seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say being interpreted master, where dwellest thou? It's getting real personal here. He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. So here we have this come and see approach. This look, I want you to come and just take notice of how I live. Just take notice of what's coming out of my mouth. And you know what? The beautiful thing about the Gospel of John, we've already been a few months already preaching out of this book. It's just a great book. And you're gonna notice when as you read through it, if you study it out, it always points to God. The message in that book, he's pointing the relationship, he's pointing everything to God. You know, he goes there in chapter 5, and Jesus talking about the scriptures, no? He says in there that the scripture speaks of me. He's always pointing to God. Always pointing to God. Over there in chapter, I believe it's in chapter 9, where the blind man gets healed. And they're asking him, why did this happen? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? What was his answer? No, so God can get the glory. That was his answer. You know, our lives should glorify God. Everything that we do should bring glory to God. It's not about you. It's not about this church, this building, I should say. It's not about the things we possess. It's about God. And doing what he wants. You know, it says if you jump a little bit more in chapter 4, look what it says there. In verse 29, we see it again. This woman, and we know the story. She sits down. Jesus sits down, is talking to her, right? The Samaritan woman, and she starts understanding this is the Christ. And it says here in 29. She goes back to the city. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Verse 41. And many more believed because of his own word. 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What am I trying to get at? It's not all about information. It's about a good testimony. We want to teach the nations. We want to teach other people that God is real, that God can save, that God can change. And you know what? That he has a better destination, that he has a place prepared for you. They have to be able to see it. They have to be able to understand that when they come through these doors in this assembly, you guys are a little bit different. Isn't that true? I mean, I hope we are. I hope we're a little bit different. I know we're a little bit older, right? I know we're possibly not as peppy as we were once before, but We shouldn't be dead. This church shouldn't be a dead church. We should be happy. And, you know, and that's one of the things that I noticed when I came here. I mean, you guys are very strange. You guys, sometimes you guys think I'm still a little strange. You know, I come in here. Don't be upset with me if I shake your hand 5, 6, 8 times during a meeting. I'm Mexican now. That's what we do down there. I don't know why we do that, but we shake hands all the time. In any break, how you doing? I've already shaken this person's hand like 3 or 4 times. Look, we should be, our common denominator should be the joy of the Lord, right? We should be happy. I mean, another day we get together, we should be happy. You know, there was a time way back, I remember, when I had a job. I remember back when I had a job. I still have a job. But when I had another boss, how's that sound? When I had another boss, I remember, and I used to get paid every 15 days. And just the way the calendar worked out, sometimes I got paid 3 times in that month. And I used to get excited. Not because it all works out over 15 days, guys. Okay, it's not like I'm getting more money, right? But it just happens that in that calendar month, I got paid 3 times. But you know why I got excited? I get to give the missionaries this month. It's going to seem like I gave a little bit more. I gave to God just a little bit more. In reality, I didn't, right? But I got excited about it. You know, we are just a little bit different that way. We should be a little bit different. Doing things for God should make us a little bit more happy. It should. You know, this is something. Turn to Psalms. We okay? Psalms 34. I want you to look at something else. You know, this come and see, this thing where somebody came and they gave me the gospel and I believed, I trusted in Christ, one of your missionaries, gave me the gospel. And I came and I saw something and I've never left. Amen. I'm going like 29 years, you know? Man, Brother Lindo, you're old. You know, 29 years and I'm still walking with the Lord. I'm still doing what I think He wants me to do. I'm still preaching the gospel. I'm still trying to give a good testimony because I know who lives in me. Amen? You guys are a little bit hard to preach to this morning. Look what it says here in verse 34. I want you to see something. In verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Have you forgotten that taste? Look, I know it might be a little bit hard for you to believe this, but I like food. And taste is something that I enjoy. You know, I hope I never lose my taste, right? But tasting food, and I can talk about a food. You know what I like doing? I like eating and talking about food, right? I like it when people invite me over to eat, and we're sitting down, we're enjoying a great meal, and we're talking about something else that we ate yesterday, or something else that we want to eat tomorrow. I mean, it's tasting. Tasting is God designed us in an incredible way. Taste. And there's so many things. Papaya don't taste that well. But, I mean, there's so many things out there. And God has given us the ability to taste. And you know what? He wants you to taste something. It's even much better than any fruit, than any watermelon, than any Mexican food out there, than anything else. And that's Him. Amen. Taste that He is good. When you get a true taste of God, it's going to come out in you. You're going to be able to teach. You're going to be able to tell others about Christ, and you're going to be more believable because of the way you're described. Have you know what I like? And every time that Matthew comes and visits us, I always tell him, bring me a bagel, right? I like them bagels from New York, right? They taste good. And I'm looking forward to that taste, that bagel. And I'm not going to share any of my bagels with you, but they're good. You know, I have a few in my house right there, or mom's house, in the freezer waiting for me. But you know what? Taste. Have you forgotten everything God has done for you? Listen to what it says here in verse 34, in verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. You know, that's one way that we can teach everyone, teach the nations, teach people that God is real. Blessing the Lord in all times. Have you ever been in times of uncertainty? In times of trouble? And how have you found yourself? Blessing God? We need to be blessing God in everything. I remember back in, I think it was in August, with the little Bart baby, Todd's baby, right? There was a few uncertainties going on there, wasn't there, Todd? Right? A little things we were praying for. And I would send them emails. I heard about it. I just want to send encouragement to them. Oh, taste. The Lord is good. He doeth all things good, Todd. Right? Don't worry about that. And then he would respond to me. Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. You know, thank you. We should constantly be thanking the Lord and blessing the Lord, even in times where we have some doubt, just like in Matthew 28. Isn't that just amazing? After the resurrection, God had already resurrected and he's there, and it says, some doubted. I mean, what more does God have to do? You know, he was dead for 3 days, and he rose from the dead, and yet there's people still doubting. That's exactly how we are. But you know what can take away a little bit of that doubt? Bless the Lord. Amen. Remember that taste. Remember that taste that when that refreshing first came to you. Look what else it says. It says here in verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You know something else that we tend to forget? This is not about you. It's not about me. Taste that the Lord is good. Another thing in verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You know that we are made, brethren, for fellowship? When we gather together, you should be in the building. Right? When we come together on Sunday night, you should be here. When we come together Sunday morning, you should be here. When we come here for Wednesday night, you should be here. You should be here even when they announce that we have never held prayer meetings, right? And the whole 30-something years of mission conferences, we haven't. And Brother Brian, thank you for instituting again that prayer time, right? Look, every time those doors are open, and that's something that Brother Linda, I remember Brother Linda telling us that. Every time these doors are open, you should be in it. That's good stuff. That is something, you know what? Serving God or being around God's people should not be a punishment. And I'm sorry if it is. I'm sorry if you feel that way. I'm sorry if sometimes it feels like, oh man, why am I being punished? Maybe little kids feel that way. Why do we have to go again? Right? I think Brother Linda, I remember him telling a story about that, and somebody you're a witness to, your neighbor, maybe, is saying, man, you go to church three times a week? Man, you must be a big sinner. Listen to me. Look, it should be a place where we come together. It should be a place where we have one thing in common, and that's Christ, and it's something that should taste good. If you're not making our meeting, if you're not making the time that we gather together taste good, maybe you ought to do some changing in what you're serving. Because you should give a good taste. Another thing, look what it says here in verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You know, this is exactly what God, have you tasted that? Have you tasted the protection of God? And look guys, death is a part of life, right? We're all going to die. right? Like I heard it say from somebody, no one's getting out of here alive, right? Everybody is going to die. You are going to die, right? If you are in Christ, man, you're going to be living. You are going to be, you're going to be more alive than you are right now in Christ Jesus. But listen to me. God encampeth around us. God delivers us. You know, I don't know how many times, sometimes I think about it, and especially I think about it when we're driving and we get some setbacks. Have you ever been 2 hours and 15 minutes standing in standstill traffic trying to cross the Mexican bridge? Mexico, United States bridge? It's not fun. In 100 degree weather, it's not fun. You know, you have AC, but it's not really blowing. It's not really cooling off because you're standing still. Look, sometimes we complain, but you know what? Maybe your setbacks are a way God's telling you, I'm protecting you from something. Just chill out. You know? Just go with the flow. Just enjoy your time. Everything is okay. You know, there's times people always ask me, oh man, how are things going in Mexico? I hear they're pretty bad. Well, really, tell you the truth, guys, I hear bad stuff from you guys. Right? Because when I'm in Puebla, I really don't hear that much. It's like they don't tell us until I leave. Right? Then I go to León, I go to another city, and they go, oh man, did you hear about that? No, I hadn't heard about that. That happened in our town? Wow, I had no idea. Things are bad everywhere. Right? You think you're safe because you live in these United States? Forget about it. People are crazy everywhere. Right? Listen to me. But things do happen. One of our pastors down there in Irapuato, Chewy, his wife was talking to Karen. And I'm telling you this not to be scared for me or be scared for them. Just pray for me, right? But this brother goes out and preaches. And he shows up and no one shows up with him, right? That's a good, faithful brother. I worked with him back in 94, Chewy. Working a full-time job, preach with us all the time. All the time. There's several of our pastors down there who I really esteem all the time doing God's work. He goes down there, he's waiting for his partners. No one shows up, so he says, okay, I'm already here, I'm going to preach. So he preaches. A guy shows up, and he has some type of weapon. I forget exactly what he had, but he had a weapon. And he tells Chewy, he tells him, give me your cell phone. Give me your bike. He goes to the meeting. He goes to preaching on his bike. Give me your bike. Give me your book back. He took everything from him. So he's giving him all his stuff. And he opens up his book bag before he gives it to him. And he says, there's a Bible in there. I want you to have it. You need to read it because you need to repent. This guy, you know what he did? He handed him all his stuff back and left. Now, it could turn out bad another time. I'm not saying that's the formula. Just say, that and everything's going to be okay. No, it might turn out bad. Another instance with him. He goes to preaching again, and no one there. He decides to preach. This guy comes up, and he's giving him a hard time. He's telling him, I'm going to do something to you. I'm going to take you, whatever. So, and another guy comes up. It's already getting dark. Another guy comes up from behind. So now there's two guys, and so he's getting a little nervous. Well, these two guys start talking. They're in this little gang, and they start talking. And all of a sudden, this young kid turns, or one of the guys turns around and looks at Chewy. It's one of the kids from our church. He's already gone in a bad way. He's already, you know, in gangs or whatever. But from a way little boy, he was in our church. And now he's a guy in the gang. Turns around and recognizes Chewy. And he tells his friend, we're not doing anything to this guy. Leave him alone. No, but he has it. No, leave him alone. And he tells Chewy, run. Go. Chewy got his stuff and left. Have you tasted how good our God is? I'm telling you, things could happen. You know, sometimes we might hear a story later on where it doesn't turn out that way. You might hear, and I'm not telling you this, believe me, I'm not telling you this to feel sorry for me or anything. Look, I know we live in a world where things happen. But man, to go out serving God, that's not bad. That's not bad. You know, I read over there, in Acts where they got beat up and they were happy about it. And man, we suffered for the Lord. Look at what happened to us. You know, God, we were doing what God wanted us to do and we got actually mistreated. Listen to me. If one day, you know, you get a call, our pastor get a call and say, oh man, John was preaching and they took him. We don't know where he's at. Find his body somewhere. Hey man, it's okay. My wife's got life insurance. She'll be set. Don't worry about it. Everything's good. What I'm trying to tell you is God is in control. What I'm trying to tell you is taste that the Lord is good. This is the message that we need to be given out. When it says here, teach all nations, I think this is something that we have to understand. There's a couple things that we have to understand when it talks about teaching all nations. And there's got to be a little bit of a balance here in how we do it. But the first thing that we have to understand as far as teaching all nations, we have to be truthful. Just like I'm doing with you right now. Truthful. You are not guaranteed a thing. That's not usually preached from the pulpit. You know, I hear lots of people saying, if you come to God, everything will be great. Let me tell you, some things aren't great. As far as worldly speaking, right? Some people go through hard lives. I know some people who've actually gotten kicked out of their house for trusting God. And it turned out really well for them at the end. But at that moment, very tough. Very tough. We need to be truthful, be honest in how we give the gospel. And there's got to be a certain urgency about the way we do things and the way we live. This has to be priority. This has to be something that comes first in everything that we do. We have to try to reach people that are lost. There's got to be an urgency. Look what it says over there in Acts. In Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. Acts 13. We're going to start in verse 36. So they're given a great sermon here. He's given the gospel. He's given the word of God. And it says here in verse 36, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God. You know, that would make a good epitaph when you die. So he served his own generation by the will of God. It says here, he fell on a sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declared unto you. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Man, this is incredible. I don't know if you've read the story, if you're familiar with the story, but this guy is preaching. This guy's talking about God. He's talking about Jesus Christ, talking about forgiveness of sins. He's talking about beware. There might come a time where even if someone told you this, even if we're given honesty, you might not even believe. You need to be careful. You need to be aware of this. And these people said, I want you to tell us this next Sunday. I desire to hear more. You want to freak your pastors out? Tell them that after they get done preaching. Go up to them and say, tell me more. Can you come back and preach again? Are you going to be teaching again next Sunday? That might encourage them to preach maybe a little bit better messages, right? If they know somebody is desiring to hear. These guys were sincere. These guys wanted to hear the Word of God more and more and more. There was a sense of urgency. Not only to tell it, but to receive it. Let me tell you something. Have you lost that sense of urgency? Is that missing from your life? The urgency of making sure you keep going, that your testimony is intact, that what you do for Christ, your life, everything that comes out of your mouth, your thoughts, everything about you is in subjection to God, so more people can understand that you do serve a living God. Has this urgency left you? Do you need it back? Another thing that I see here, not only do they have this urgency, but a joy. I think that's so important. If we're going to go and win people, if we're going to teach all nations, there's got to be a joy about us. Look what it says here in verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. But when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many were ordained to eternal life, believed, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women, and chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them, and kept unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy with the Holy Ghost. You know, that's something that I think we need to, if we're going to be reaching the nations, if you're going to reach more people here in San Antonio, if we're going to continue to keep going, we got to be honest. We got to speak the truth. We can't hold back. We got to have a sense of urgency about us and the way we respond and the things that we do. And we got to keep that joy. That joy is in you. That joy is something that's a part of you. It says here also to go about and baptizing them. He's just talking about making disciples, folks. You have to go and to be baptized I don't even remember who baptized me. I remember I got saved. I remember I got immediately baptized. And why? Because they told me, hey, are you a follower of Christ? Yeah. Okay. Look what it says over here in Romans chapter 6. Look what it says here. You are now a new creature. This is symbolic of your decision. You are going to be buried through baptism. It's going to be a show. It's going to be something that you're going to be announcing. It's a symbol of your salvation. Hey, you know what? I didn't have no problem with that. I didn't say, oh, wait a minute. I was baptized as a kid. I wanted to do everything. Whatever is expected of me, I want to do it. Why? Because God saved me. Amen. Listen to me. We are called to make disciples, right? We are called to make people live in everything that God commands, aren't we? This is what God says. But it takes time to do it. You know, it's very fast to get married. Have you ever thought of that? All you gotta do is sign a piece of paper. You sign a piece of paper, and you enter into an agreement with the other person, right? I'm going to get married with you. You want to get married with me? Yeah, yeah, good, good, good. Excellent. Sign here. You're done. You know, 25 bucks later, you're married. Right? But you know what? It takes time to make a wife, to make a husband. Right? Through the days that you're walking, through the days that you're living in this world, there's things that you don't like that she's doing, and you have to be able to tell her. And just on a side note, don't wait 20 years to tell her you don't like stew. Right? If you're married, if you're recently married, you need to be truthful. You need to tell them what you do and what you don't like. But it's a teaching process. It's the same thing that you and I are doing. Teaching, making disciples, teaching to do all things. Look what it says over there in Colossians. I'm going to end with this. Colossians, a very familiar verse. Three. This thing about missions. You do realize when we go and take the gospel to the whole world, and we make disciples of people, and we're baptizing them, and we're teaching them to do what God wants to do. I mean, this stuff is happening all over the world, people. We do understand that, right? I mean, people are getting saved, not only Mexico. They're getting saved in all parts of the world. You know? Do you read Christian information about the persecution that's going on in the world? When people get saved, like in China? When people get saved, like in Iraq? People are dying for the name of Christ. Things are a little bit real in other places, people. You know? You know what most of the time, what our problems are, what our complaints are? We gotta check ourselves out at Walmart. They don't have enough people there. Right? You're upset because you have to do it. You have to scan everything. Let me tell you, there's bigger things happening in the world. There's more important things happening in the world. And if we lose our focus of what's really important, and let me tell you, what we do this week, the things we talk about this week, the things that are brought up again this week, this is what really matters. I'm scared to lose that teaching of taking the gospel and being involved in evangelism, being involved in what's important to God. I'm scared of losing that. I see a lot of people losing that. They're putting their focus in other things. Look, there's a lot. We can exceed in a whole lot of things. You can move up in the world in so many things. But you need to remember missions is important. Amen. What you're called to do in this world is important. It should be the most important thing. How are we gonna get this done? The mission, just a few things to motivate you. Just a few things that you need to think about. Look what it says here in Colossians, right? Colossians chapter 3. It says here in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on things on the earth. You know what you need to do? You know what I need to do? Put my affection on things above. If we're gonna fulfill our calling of what God has us to do, we have to set our affection on the things above. When I thought about things, what motivates me to do this? What motivates me to continue on this track? Well, you know, mission, living for God, is more important, should be more important than your personal wealth. I think if you make money, if you have a lot of money, great. I'm happy for you. You know, I'm really happy when I hear good news, when somebody tells me, oh, you know, or when I hear this happened, or they got this, or they got the other. And it's funny to me, because sometimes I might hear something, somebody might, you know, get a new car. I'm thinking, oh, wow, you know, you got a new car, brother. You know, it looks great. That's great. And then they start justifying it. Do you find yourself doing that? I find myself doing that. Oh, yeah, but you know, oh, well, you know, why can't you just say, yeah, God's good? You know, God bless me. Hey, I'm happy for you. You know, don't feel bad about being blessed by God. Praise the Lord. But this, what we're doing, living for God, taking the gospel out, should be more important than anything you can get here on earth. That should be motivating to you. That should motivate you to do more. Another thing I thought about, what should motivate us? There's nothing better than heaven. Nothing at all. When you tell somebody the gospel and they understand it and they believe it and they're going to heaven, listen, folks, right now is your time to serve God. You do understand that, right? Over there in chapter 7, where it's talking about the 144,000, and then it goes like right around verse 9, where it's talking about John sees this great multitude, all these kindreds, all these tongues, and they're all worshiping God. That's the end. We're all going to get there, if we're saved, from all over the world. Right now is your only opportunity to be on mission. Right now is your only chance to get somebody into heaven. Third thing I thought of, not only is there's nothing better than heaven, but there's nothing worse than hell. Have you thought about that? Hell. Some of your friends are going to die and go to hell. And let it not be because you weren't motivated to open your mouth. Do you know people that way? Do you know people in your life that you're a little bit too timid to say something because they might disown you? They might stop talking to you? Well, what's going to happen if they die? What's going to happen if tomorrow you heard the news, so-and-so died, and you never spoke to them? And it could be because your testimony's not right. It could be because you're not doing things right. It could be, I don't know what it is, but you need to fix some things so you can open your mouth and you need to tell them. We're on mission this week. We're on a mission to do this thing and to keep doing this thing. Keep telling people. God told us here to go out and teach all nations. God told us here to go out teaching them to observe all things. Baptize them, teaching them to observe all things. You know, over there in Acts chapter 1:1, it says Jesus began both to do and to teach. He showed by example and he was teaching. You and I need to finish this mission. We need to finish it out. It's incredible. He left us something, he began something, and he wants you and I to finish it. Amen?